It's a great weekend for orchestras. Yesterday we spent time with the Spokane Symphony, and now we have a really significant thing going on. It's not only the season opener for the Coeur d'Alene Symphony, but it's also the beginning of the tenure of music director Jan Palant. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning.
And,
thank you for having me.
You've been in the area, what, about 6 weeks or something like that? A couple months, something like that.
Right. It has been almost 6 months. You mean here in Coeur d'Alene?
Yeah, sure.
Six weeks. Since I moved here. Yeah. And it's just a wonderful place.
So other than setting up housekeeping and making sure you have dishes to eat off of and things like that, what's your focus in that first time when you're in town and beginning this really important relationship?
Right. So before I moved here, I was mentioning several times that my big aim is to make sure that the community in Coeur d'Alene and around is sort of being like one big family, and that I would like to put Coeur d'Alene and eventually places around on a map, musically speaking. So I was meeting during these last past 2, 3, 4 weeks a lot of music lovers in this beautiful community, and I was demonstrating all of them what's the goal of the orchestra, where we would like to get in the near future, and it looks like so far I got impression that people from Coeur d'Alene and around, they are really great supporters of art, and that they would like to make to have something happening in the near future, some kind of majestic, enormous results. Everyone is ready for having the roof in the hall falling down when having concerts, you know. So, yeah, I'm very happy to be here, and, and we had a very successful Labor Day concert, and so I think it was a good starting point.
Nice. Yeah. And you yourself as a pianist, right?
Myself?
Yeah.
I play a little piano. I think I'm more familiar with string instrument.
Oh, okay.
As an active performer, I used to play violin and viola many times as a chamber musician, also in the orchestras, and eventually as a soloist sometimes. So I was trying to get experiences from all kind of fields as a string player. And now I'm moving with my hands.
Yeah, but you certainly you know it from the other side. You
right,
know it by
right.
doing it,
right,
and
right,
living
right.
it.
Right, exactly. Before I started to be involved mainly as a conductor, I did want to spend some time in the orchestra and observe conductors and try to understand conductor's role from the let's say musician's perspective. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for, let's say, every younger conductors to understand this role, not from themselves but from the musician's perspective. That's one of the biggest mistakes that every young conductor can do. So I was trying to avoid that. And one should always keep in mind that the musicians are creating the sound, not the conductor. So to be able to understand this kind of psychology, this philosophy of how it works, I think would definitely would help any conductor to spend couple years in the orchestra, definitely. Yeah.
So how does that kind of, what might be an example of something you do in a rehearsal or not do, or how you would how you would work with musicians?
Well, I think what I think nowadays is the most important thing is to understand that the music starts from the first rehearsal. The most important rehearsal is the first rehearsal, I feel. And what I try to usually do is to go through all the pieces without stopping from the beginning to the end, to make sure that orchestra and everyone involved will really be trusting that we can make it, because the pieces we are playing right now, they are pretty challenging this season with the Coeur d'Alene Symphony for any orchestra in the world, I would say. So my strategy is to make sure that we play from the beginning to the end and then start working. And it's important to make sure that every rehearsal is really sort of better and better and better. which also means every concert. So basically, I'm just interested in making sure that it's getting better. Of course, what that means to be better, it's not like a sport where you can easily judge who is running faster or so on. I would say in this case, you can really feel and see on the stage if the orchestra is becoming like sort of one body, or if it is like orchestra set up by a lot of individuals, which probably I don't think it's always the best idea. That's what I was saying. You don't have to necessarily have the best musicians in the world. You can have great musicians and you can still make sure that it sounds as enormous orchestra.
So. Yeah, so that strategy of really making them feel like a group, like a family, right? Like playing together. How do you go about that?
Well, I'm trying to listen to orchestra and see where are the weaknesses. It doesn't have to be only if something is out of pitch, if something is out of the tempo, not exactly together. It's also the question of sound. I'm trying to hear if there are not any sections that are too much sounding differently than the other sections. I would like to combine all section, brasses, woodwinds, strings, percussion, etc., etc., into one color, one timbre. And I think I can easily identify if there is any section that sounds a little different. So I would just simply try to give always, if I can, a good recipe how to sound differently. It's not good if the conductor only says, oh, this is wrong. It's important to say what is wrong and how to fix it. Like a doctor, if he would tell you are sick. But that's not enough. He or she should tell you how you should get healthy. So I'm basically just listening. I think conducting is about listening, not only about moving the hand. Listening and trying to find these weaknesses and gently try to fix them. And by doing these things, I think there is chance to make one sort of sound of the orchestra.
Jan Palanta, the music director of the Coeur d'Alene Symphony. And you got a biggie there. You mentioned that it's music that would challenge anybody. Brahms' First Symphony.
Right.
What a thing there. And in so many ways, and so even within what you've just talked about, talk about really making Brahms happen with an orchestra.
Right. My view on Brahms is that he's a great architecture in music. He can build long phrases, long melodies, long crescendos. It's hard to make sure that it will give the right message to the audience, but I can hear in Brahms' symphonies, especially in his first symphony that we are going to perform in a couple of days, kind of sound of organs. I imagine being in a big cathedral, big church, and playing this symphony on organ. Unfortunately, I'm not a good organist, but I'm trying to imagine that. And I can hear in Brahms' symphonies a lot of opportunities to create the sound of organs, which means that you have a lot of voices sounding at the same time, and you want to make sure that, again, these voices are sounding as one compact sound. Because organ, right, you can create a bunch of melodies on the organ, but still you would have one color, you would have one kind of timbre, and I want to try to achieve that with this symphony as well. So coming back to Brahms Symphony Number 1, I think what we are trying to go for here is to make huge, majestic sound. We are not having too fast tempos. If you listen to many recordings of this piece, beautiful piece, you can hear kind of traditions in certain tempos. But we might go for a little more sort of relaxed, sustained tempos and try to make really these overtones happening in the hall. Overtones, in my opinion, means that you can hear something more than on the stage. You can hear something going on above the orchestra. And by doing that, you should, in my opinion, adapt the tempo carefully. If you play things too fast, you might get lost, in my opinion. And let's see what's going to happen with the symphony by doing this kind of, yeah.
There's so many things to love about the Brahms First Symphony, but focus a little bit on the last movement and the pacing and kind of what gets said in the last movement.
Right. So the last movement is basically combining all the motifs, all the themes that were happening in the previous movements. So it's still this classical early romantic composer's idea, where the composers would usually have four movements in the symphony, of course, and the last movement typically would combine all these ideas that were happening before into one big sort of movement. Particularly this fourth movement of Brahms' First Symphony, it's interesting. It gives to any instrument, any section, a moment of solo performance. For example, there is a big horn solo at the beginning. There is a big clarinet solo. There is a big there are big trombone fanfares at the beginning. Every section has a chance to contribute to this movement by playing great passages. Again, you would hear very rarely in this movement sort of quiet, relaxed passages. It's very much energetic. Maybe just the beginning, the opening might be sort of relaxed and sounding too soft, but basically all this movement is really fulfilled of the sound, and it's very important to make sure that this last movement will make a great impact by doing a great job with all the three movements before. I think this last movement will probably be hardly understood if played just individually. It's important to get there, by playing wonderfully all these three movements. So when you get to the fourth, you are just in the heaven for a moment. But to get to the heaven, you need to get there. You cannot just jump there, right? So let's see what's going to happen.
It sounds Brahms' First Symphony, which will be the primary symphonic piece on the program, opening with some music of Borodin and then to the Glazunov Violin Concerto. When you have a soloist coming in just for the last rehearsal or two and learn something like the Glazunov, have you rehearsed it with one of your orchestra members having a chance to play it or not?
Well, I heard that Felicity James...
Yeah,
she's the young artist winner, and I heard great things about her from basically all the orchestra musicians. Myself, I haven't had chance so far to work with her, but I learned that she's just like a superstar here, and everyone is excited having her. And I did have chance to listen her playing on recordings, and I was really impressed, and I feel like her sound can really match perfectly to Cordelin Symphony Orchestra's sound. So
I guess what I was kind of getting to on that idea is that just when you're teaching the orchestra their part,
right.
is that an effective way to do it, or do they need to have heard the violin solo?
I got you. Well, that's a great question. I really think it's combinations of both. For the first stage, I do prefer to suggest to just go through the piece without the soloist, to just simply make sure that the orchestra is not dependent on the soloist. I still think that it's a group of like several parties: orchestra, soloist, conductor. And I feel like if the orchestra is too much involved with the soloist from the beginning, there can be kind of danger of losing their identity of the orchestra. I still think that there should be orchestra and the soloist. However, of course, at one point, the soloist is extremely important to jump to the rehearsals, not just for the concert. So there can be kind of relation, personal relation. I think what is important is that the orchestra and the soloist, whoever is it, has to find a personal relation by having rehearsals. It doesn't have to do necessarily too much with the music sounding, I would say. But so yes, I prefer to start with only orchestra and then make sure that the soloist is just jumping to the radio orchestra.
Yeah. Let's take a little 5-minute break and hear a little bit of Felicity James. Here she is with a pianist, Hyun-nam Lee, playing the piece by himself, a violinist, Yosef Suk, which is called Love Song. Thank you. It's called Love Song by Joseph Suk, played by Felicity James, the violinist, Seonmi Lee, the pianist. It is Felicity James who will be performing the Glazunov Concerto with the Coeur d'Alene Symphony. That's Friday evening at 7:30, and then Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Salvation Army Croc Center in Coeur d'Alene. Back with Jan Palant. You've moved here, and so you're part of this. You're part of our musical world now.
Right. It's great. What else should I say? Yes, I moved 3-4 weeks ago. I'm doing small traveling sometimes as well.
Yeah, talk about a few of the things you'll do when you go away from here. You still have some engagements here and there, don't you?
Sometimes I do. I'm still involved with the chamber orchestra in Lexington, Kentucky. Also orchestra in Ghana, Africa.
Really? Yeah. Well, tell me about that. Come on. This sounds fascinating.
Right, right. It's so in Ghana, there is professional orchestra, and it's the classical professional orchestra. It's the only professional orchestra on the east, middle, and west coast of Africa. And actually, talking about the whole Africa, they have surprisingly only 3 professional orchestras. One is in Cairo, Egypt. One is in South Africa, Lancers, and one is here in Ghana.
Wow!
I'm doing some opera projects over there, and sometimes I do some concerts in Louisville, Kentucky, also in my homeland. But I try to really be focused only on very few orchestras, and Coeur d'Alene Orchestra is my heart, and I really appreciate this great community here and for having this opportunity and doing great art. I just feel that there is kind of interest from the music lovers to achieve something. Mm. I have this feeling, and this I like that. Yeah.
And then you're another year. Things to do throughout the season is going to be to probably really keep building the orchestra, including recruiting more members for the orchestra, and in some cases, and just dealing with making it the place to be, the place to play.
Right. We definitely might have some, let's say, openings for mm-hmm. other string members to make the orchestra bigger. Mm-hmm. And we have very, very, very good musicians, and we definitely would consider having a larger orchestra for playing some Mahler symphonies, for example, and doing some music by Richard Strauss eventually. And also we might do some concerts at other places, at other halls, even other places out of town, let's say. I think Croc Center is really a good place for creating transcendental moments, because as it is, let me say, not too big, like having mm-hmm. 5,000 audience. Mm-hmm. If it is like 500 audience, we can be more connected. The orchestra, the audience, and the conductor can be more connected. However, doesn't mean that there should be never any other moment of doing some concerts at other places, and to really make sure that this community is being like one family and like one body, musically speaking.
Well, yeah. We'll look forward to all that progress and all that growth that I'm sure will be coming along. Jan Palant making his debut as music director with the Coeur d'Alene Symphony Friday night and Saturday afternoon. Have a great time with that.
Thank you. Have a great day.